Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 215 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name is Garrett Drake. I'm joined online by Jacob Alka. Jacob, I love you. I miss you. It's great to have you. How are you?
I'm great, man. Been a busy day. Not just because I was at work, but dude, state of play happened today. Some big news came about it. Not just The Last of Us, but we also got a trailer for Modern Warfare. And I'm really excited to talk about both of those here in a little bit. But in terms of my week, it's been a very good week so far. It's just began a couple days ago, but been busy. Yesterday, we actually played a little bit of Apex, which was nice. It's good playing games with you again. But yeah, man, how about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just busy with work and school. Nothing remotely exciting or interesting going on aside from that. But State of Play is pretty cool. At long last, we have trailers for both, of course, Last of Us Part 2 and Modern Warfare story trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Of which I was waiting for a while. I'm very excited about that. But unfortunately, we only have basically exactly an hour for the podcast this week. But that is more than enough time, I feel like, to discuss what we played this week. Maybe some other funny stories along the way. And, of course, the big news. But anything in particular you want to share from your week, Jacob?
I mean, I've been growing this little beard out that you mentioned earlier. It's the first time that I've really grown a little bit of a beard out in about a little over a year, I was telling you. And I wanted some feedback. Do you think I should keep it or do you think I should shave it, Garrett? I feel like I already know your answer, but I always shave it because, one, I hate the itchy phase and I'm currently in it right now. And two,
there's got to be a solution to that, Jacob. You've been dealing with itchy face your whole life of growing beards. I mean, it's about to be 2020. There has to be a solution for preventing that. You just got to get a cream or something.
Probably. Or an oil. Probably right. But also, I hate when it gets super long, and I don't like trimming it. So, like, what?
Then why do you grow it? That's the price
of growing. That's a good point. I don't know. Because I hate when it gets really long, and then, like, it looks really dirty.
Magnificent beard.
Like, I don't want, when it gets really long, it gets all, like, messy, and I don't like that look. But
we just got to get some good clippers that trim it at the same length. That way when you say trim it, do you literally use scissors to trim it?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, get some clippers that's what I do. It's the easiest thing in the world. That's how I maintain the same level of facial hair every day is I use a 3 on my face, a 1 on my mustache and chin. Actually, I use a 1 everywhere but like my cheeks because my cheeks or my mustache and my chin grow ridiculously fast. Like, yeah. I could grow a mustache, I kid you not, in a day. So I have to shave it daily, whereas my face takes a good 5 or 6 days to grow to a decent length.
Yeah.
So if you get some trimmers and figure out which way the patches on your face grow, mm-hmm. you can just maintain it very easily. It's like a 2-minute process every day.
Yeah. So what length do you do on your cheeks?
I do a 3 on my cheeks.
How long is that, would you say?
See what you're looking at right now?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to tell over video. That's the length of a 3.
Okay, well, mine's
it's very similar to if you ever went to like Great Clips, for example, or Sports Clips when you were a kid. Like, I'd like a 3, please, and they just cut right, your hair that length.
Okay,
it's like the size of the clipper blade that's trimming it.
Right. Okay.
So
yeah, I don't know. I just for all my life, I've chose to not deal with having a beard. So maybe now I actually give it a chance. Yeah,
here are your solutions, Jacob. Good clippers, also very inexpensive, and some good beard oil or anti-itch cream, I don't know, but I'm sure there's an oil that does everything you're looking for. One, makes it look clean, makes it feel clean, and it's just freshens it up a bit. So
I think I actually have some beard oil, and it's just collecting dust somewhere on my shelf where I keep all my, like, my deodorant and my, what's it called? Cologne. So maybe I should go dig it out.
I can assure you, I think for under $30, you can get some good beard oil and some great clippers and maintain that bad boy with ease and, lack of itchiness. I think you'll be in the clear.
I'll give it a chance, Garrett. Just for you. I'll give it a chance.
I say that because I really admire the beard. Granted, I personally, for me, I think a thick beard is a little premature because it's not quite cold out yet.
True.
But not that it needs to be cold. That's just how I feel. When I grow a beard, I like it to be a little colder. But you look phenomenal, Jacob. There's no denying it. So if you have the courage and the willpower to acquire what you need to make your beard life easier, I'd hang on to it, my friend.
Okay.
It's a killer I can't even say combination. It's more like an amalgamation. The body, the eyes, the baby soft skin, the beard, Jacob. You are a man to die for.
Thank you, Garrett.
I've said this before and I say it again. I'd marry you in a heartbeat, but you know, we are separated.
Yeah, we are many miles away.
I rarely see you, so that's not really going to work out. But hopefully on Thursday, we're going to have our date to Fox Bros, which we've discussed.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
It's up to you, man. I have the time. It relies solely on you.
Well, you don't have the time when I need the time. That's the problem.
Well, if you wait around like half an hour, If you're willing to wait 30 minutes for the best barbecue in your life, Jacob, I promise you'll never regret it. Plus, you get to spend time with me. What more could you ask for?
You're really selling
Thursday leading into Friday, Jacob? My goodness, we're going to have the time of our lives.
All right.
We may kiss on the mouth.
All right.
We may have a barbecue kiss on the mouth.
Turn me on now. Come on.
Wallow around in some mac and cheese and some pulled pork and maybe some brisket. Mm, Jacob.
This is the quality content that people come here for, let me tell you.
And the night's young.
It will be, yeah. Technically, it is night now, yeah, here on the East Coast.
Aside from your beard, is anything else going on in your life that we should know about?
Nope, that's it.
Just the beard.
No, like I said, I've been really busy at work this week. Also, I guess I could talk about what I played this week. That's really the only other thing, because since our last podcast, I haven't done a whole lot, honestly. I'm very closely considering starting a new anime. I know someone keeps mentioning one in the podcast, or not in the podcast, in the Discord. It is Demon Slayer from Kyle. I'm really close to starting it, because I'm kind of like in a phase right now where I don't want to watch anything. I was thinking about starting The Ranch, too, which is the show that's kind of like based off that 70s show. And it's like the same cast and everything, but it's just a different setting and a different story entirely. And that kind of intrigued me because I really like that 70s show. So I might try that instead. But one of those two shows I'm going to start soon. But other than that, I've just been playing some games, been playing more WoW, Apex Legends. What else? Borderlands 3, of course. Borderlands 3 was the main thing. Really checking through that. I'm about level 29 or 28, I think. I'm very close to going into my second vault, which is really exciting, because the first vault that I went to had a really cool boss fight, or I guess it was kind of cool. It was just a cool little set piece moment, and I enjoyed it a lot. Still really enjoying the game. I don't know if I like it more than a game like Destiny, per se, just because I think Destiny, I like games that are a little more serious in their tone and have more weight behind your actions. Borderlands, while it's a great time and I love the gameplay and whatnot, it's a little, you know, just silly. Like, what am I really doing, you know? But also, you know, it's, like I said, it's a lot of fun. Like a lot of the gun customization, not customization, but just the variety of weapons in the game itself is really intriguing. That I still feel like I've barely even scratched the surface of all the guns that are in the game. Because I know, like, when they were teasing the game, they were like, there's 2 billion guns in the game. Which, obviously, there's not, like, literally 2 billion different guns, but there's, like, the same guns with a few different modifiers to change them. Which is, you know, it's cool in itself, but I'm still really enjoying Borderlands. Still leveling up my new character in WoW. Actually, in WoW today, in the live servers, the retail servers, they released like a new patch, and they added, or they concluded the war campaign, which is like the main story in the BFA expansion. So I might go and check that out, watch the new cinematics, because as we all know, Blizzard has some phenomenal cinematics, and I always am super intrigued to learn more about the Warcraft story, because to this day, I still think it has the best lore in almost any franchise. But that's not to say it doesn't copy from a lot of like famous lore, like Lord of the Rings, for example. That's probably like the closest tie, or like Game of Thrones. But yeah, really enjoying both of those games on those fronts. And Apex Legends, just been playing a little bit, play with you. I think we got super close to getting a win. I think we got second, which was a little heartbreaking, but we were so close. I don't know if me and Confucius Say from the community were good enough to get you the win, Garrett. I speak for both for us when I say I apologize, because I feel like I never get you a win, and I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right, Jacob, because if I'm being honest, I was pretty checked out of playing Apex. And I was talking to Zach on the phone the whole time. My mic was so bad, I was muted so I wouldn't annoy you.
Sorry, I wasn't good enough, okay?
No, you guys were great. I just, I was half paying attention the whole time, so I was not a good teammate, so I apologize. You have no reason to apologize.
Yeah, I kept looking back and you were just like fiddling around.
Because there was one time where I literally ran straight into a battle unaware of what was happening, and you're like, turn around, there's bad guys in there. Like, dart in the opposite direction.
Yeah, between the canyon, yeah.
So, that was basically how my experience went, but I forgot just how wonderful it is on PC. I mean, Xbox is great, but PC, man, it's just a whole other beast entirely.
How's Zach doing? You said you talked to him?
Oh, he's doing well. I keep up with Zach. We talk pretty much daily at this point, even if it's brief.
I'm jealous. So,
yeah, he's doing well.
I guess I could too. I just, you know, don't put in the effort. I must be a crappy human.
Yeah, just drop them a phone call or a text. They'll respond to you.
I mean, I do sometimes, you know. I text them.
You and I are talking about, I may buy us all tickets to go see Joker opening weekend. He's just, I'm waiting to hear back from him about whether he and Cassie can make it to Atlanta for that. But you would be included in that. I think you, Preston, Zach, Cassie, Evan, maybe a couple other people.
Do you know what night that would be?
It would be either the Thursday night it opens or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, any time that opening weekend.
Okay.
Waiting to hear back from Zach, and I'll get back to you guys. But I think that'd be fun for us to go, all of us to go see it together.
It would be fun. I do really want to see that movie, because Joker is probably the best villain, in my opinion, hands down. So
he's a good one.
I just said probably the best villain, hands down. That doesn't really make any sense. But I would say hands down, he's my favorite villain.
Okay. He's certainly one of my favorites, definitely.
Yes.
And but, I've heard nothing but great things about the movie, so it's exciting.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, it's nothing really new to talk about in terms of games. Just been playing the same things, still really enjoying my time, and you know, hopefully I can get Borderlands 3 done by next week, next Tuesday, which is when I think the new Destiny 2 DLC is dropping, Shadowkeep. So really hitting up these looter shooters right now, and I'm not complaining because I love them.
Glad to hear it, Jacob.
But I haven't really been hearing a whole lot of people talk about Shadowkeep, so I don't know how it's going to do.
I haven't heard anyone talk about Destiny at all, if I'm being honest. No, I'm not saying it's a bad game or no one's interested in it. I just don't hear many people talking about it anymore. I think that's also a testament to not having Activision's marketing anymore.
Sure.
It's not at the forefront of advertising. Not that Bungie isn't still relevant, but I just feel like not as many people talk about Destiny anymore.
Yeah, I feel like also over the past few years, they've kind of burned a lot of bridges for a lot of people in terms of just being disappointed with what the game is and what it was doing and, you know, whatnot. So
right. Here's what they can. One reason they can hold their heads up high is that they're not Anthem.
True. Very true.
They have that going for them.
Very true. But other than that, man, that's all I got, dude. I got nothing to say this week.
Nice. The only semi-interesting stories for me were all having to do with Masquerade. I was working there a good bit. I worked there a lot this month, but this past week I was there for a few days, and Guar was headlining in Heaven, and I popped through Heaven while they were sound checking, and it was just so funny to see their elaborate stage with all their props, but all of them outside of their alien costumes or whatever they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Just these old bald guys jamming out. But it was kind of cool to see him like that. And the other funny thing about Guar is that because I was working with an artist called Kiana something. I can't remember her last name. I'd never heard of her before.
Okay.
She had like her own team and sound guy and everything. So I was assisting with that show. But I was busy with them all night. But there happened to be a time where I was helping them load out of the venue. And we happened to pass right by the backstage area of Heaven. And one of the Guar guys, I guess, was done for the night. He had just come off the stage, and he was completely out of his alien suit. Imagine a man in a gigantic black thong, but with just gigantic alien feet on. He had taken off his whole suit except for the alien feet and this thong, but he was covered in blood too, because apparently they shoot blood into the crowd that shoots out like 40 feet and covers everyone.
Who is this?
Guar. Have you heard of this band?
No.
This guy, these guys that dress up like aliens and they play like heavy metal and stuff.
It sounds awesome.
It's just hilarious to see him like that. They had this whole rack where all their costumes hung, but that was kind of cool. And one exciting bit of news is that I may be working with Escape the Fate in the first week of October.
Dude,
which would be awesome.
That's awesome. I mean, so I don't really like their music anymore, but that's cool.
Yeah, it's Escape the Fate and Bless the Fall, but they're doing the This War Is Ours like 10-year anniversary tour or something like that.
Great album.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that works out, because the production manager is originally supposed to do it, but I told him, I was like, if you want a night off, I will take that show. And he's like, all right, I may take you up on that. So I'm hoping that happens. It'd be pretty cool.
I'll say a prayer for you, because I want that to happen.
I appreciate that. But fun week of music, working with various bands and just seeing some funny stuff along the way.
Yeah. So do you primarily work down in Hell? Is that what you're doing?
I bounce between Hell and Purgatory. And I've had opportunities to work in Heaven many times, but I can never take them because I have school, and load in for Heaven is typically in the morning because the biggest bands play in Heaven. I passed by there the other night and All That Remains was playing, which is kind of cool. That is kind of cool, just working in any room. You can pop in there and watch any show anytime you want.
Maybe you should explain also what Heaven and Hell means for those that have no idea what the Masquerade is.
So if you haven't been to the Masquerade in Atlanta, there's three rooms there. There is Purgatory, which is the smallest. There's Hell, which is the second biggest. And then there's Heaven, which is where all like the huge touring acts play. But some bands like Escape the Fate, for example, are playing in hell because they're a popular band, but they're not as big as they used to be.
No.
But it's interesting about Masquerade because their new location. Have you been to New Masquerade yet?
Once, I think, yeah.
Okay. Because they have to, apparently, they're having to obliterate half of Underground Atlanta now. So they're having to move Hell and Purgatory over to the same side of the street where Heaven is.
Okay.
And I just found out about this. I don't know how they're going to pull it off because I don't think there's any space on that side. But the city's tearing down that part of the city.
Yeah. I mean, it's abandoned. I don't blame them.
So, well, I mean, that's the thing. That's what's odd is that Masquerade's there, but I think they're wanting to put something on that half of the street.
Yeah.
So it just sucks for Masquerade. Their buildings are constantly destroyed.
I know.
Every time they move somewhere. But fun week of music and more to come. I guess busy season for live music is typically between now and the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of cool stuff coming up. But aside from that, all I played this week, Jacob, was Apex with you, and it was awful. And I played Modern Warfare on PC, and it was exceptional. Like, truly excellent.
Oh, yeah,
excellent.
I forgot to talk about that. I did play that beta this weekend.
Yeah, it works out. We can talk about it together now because I had a feeling when I was playing on console, which I was okay on console, but I was very inconsistent. Just for whatever reason, I know this sounds so weird because I grew up with a controller in my hands, but ever since I transitioned to shooters on PC, going back to shooters on controller is just the weirdest feeling to me. And I think it's because you get used to your hands being so spread apart and having the whole maneuver of your arm and your wrist.
Yeah.
And then you just go to using your thumbs. Yeah. That's the strangest.
Did you have
feeling.
Like a thing where you like leaned up when you played on console too? Like I always used to put my forearms on like my knees and I would lean forward when I played on console.
Right.
But now
I did that for many years and I finally got to a point where I could relax and just sit back in a chair and be decent. But I struggle on console like big time these days. And I had a feeling when I played on console, I'm like, you know what? I played Black Ops 4 on PC and I was pretty good. Hopefully that will be the case for Modern Warfare. And thank the Lord, I was significantly better and more consistent on PC at the time of my life. I only uploaded one gameplay video to COG's YouTube channel. But it just felt so, so good to play.
Granted,
I will
great.
Admit they may need to nerf the M4 a bit because that thing is just downright deadly. Uh-huh. I mean, if you're even remotely accurate, you're going to kill someone every time you pull the trigger.
Yeah, I use that gun a lot.
And that's the thing for me, because all the guns that I've used look, sound, and feel incredible. But my thing with Call of Duty has always been, once I find the gun that just feels perfect to me, I never use any other gun.
That's a problem.
I have no reason to. Like, what's the point of me using an AK when I am far more consistent and play better with the M4, for example? But I'd like to have a reason to use different weapons on each map. But every match you played ran perfectly, Binox, and I can maybe have been Raven. I can't remember who they collaborated with on this PC.
I think it was one of the studios that helped with Destiny too.
Okay,
it was High Moon or someone else. I forget what the other one's
remember.
Called. But
they again, the PC version they've done an excellent job with. Also looked beautiful too. So I am again just so excited for the full release. Definitely going to play it on PC. And
I'm glad to hear.
Love
that.
To hear your thoughts about PC. And I mean, of course, we could probably just jump in and talk about the story trailer.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the multiplayer of the beta, I had a really good time too. Some days were better than others. Like one night I played with my good friend Steven that I play a lot of multiplayer games with. I played terribly. That was that Saturday, I think. Like I went like negative every single game. I was getting pissed off. I was like throwing things in my room. Like it wasn't pretty. I don't think he heard anything, but I got pretty pissed. Like, I don't know what it is about Call of Duty, but it makes me rage more than any other game. I can't even just explain how. I guess it's because it's so like up in your face and like it's so twitch based and fast paced. Like it's just like whenever I fail to do the correct move or, you know, twitch quick enough, I just get pissed at myself for some reason. But I didn't break any coffee tables like I did with Black Ops 2. But, you know, not that mad. But, you know, it was getting close. Some of the maps, well, I'm going to say it. All the maps are kind of boring to me. I don't like the maps at all. I mean,
what is it about them you don't like?
I just don't like how realistic they are. Like, I don't like how gray and brown they are. They just kind of bore me. And I
miss those bombastic colors from Apex. And
I do, yeah, because I think I just think it makes for a better game. Like
Fortnite.
Not to say that like a realistic shooter isn't a good thing. It's just, I don't know, that brings me more enjoyment in a way. So that's one minor complaint. Like you said, I love all the guns. Love the gunsmith, by the way. Like I love like how as you use the gun more, you unlock more and more attachments that you can put on it. And I also like that they also come with like a con. Like if you put on, you know, a suppressor, like it shows you the pros and the cons. And that's great. So yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, it's like usually you would just put every single attachment on a gun that you could in like the pick 10 system, and there would be like no downside really. But I mean, there's exceptions, but you know, in this, like, you always got to think about, okay, what do I really want to, you know, strive towards? What do I want to focus on? And, you know, what do I not care about as much? So I like that a lot. And that's just on top of all the different weapons that you have in the game. And each weapon has different attachments too, which is cool. But other than that, really had a good time with it. Did you play Gunfight or what's the other mode? Like the big, like
Ground War?
Yeah, I think it was Ground War. It was like the Battlefield mode, kind of. Like Conquest.
Yeah, I liked it. I've seen all the memes about the spawning system being disastrous.
That's another thing. The spawning was awful, especially in Conquest. There was literally a time where I spawned in a room with five or six other guys. I literally killed all of them, Garrett. Like, I was in the corner, spawned. They were holding down a point. I just sprayed all of them down. And I meleeed the last one. It was extremely satisfying. And that's also happened to me, though. Like, I was in a room with other people. Enemy spawns behind me. And it just kills me. Yep. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Something that was the only mode where I experienced that happening was Ground War, and I was wondering if it was just me or if I was just truly awful at Ground War, if something was off, and that seems to have been the case, because I died more in the back in Ground War than any other mode I played.
Yeah, I don't know if Ground War is fantastic as a mode in itself in Call of Duty, because it just seems like a big shit show, for lack of a better word. Like, there's just everything is going on around you. The vehicles are kind of weird because they don't. Like, they take several hits to kill. It just didn't feel consistent to me. Like, sometimes I would shoot it once and it would die with, like, my rocket. Other times, it would never do any damage. And, like, I don't know. I was getting weird hit registration marks, too, sometimes. Like, it was just a mess. And I think it was Point C in particular. It was always just it was chaos. Like, there was always people everywhere inside the building, especially up top. And you just could never, if you didn't have the point, you could never take it because it was just an absolute shit show. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. And maybe that's just like a beta problem. I don't know.
Further refinement. Polish it up a bit.
But I think it was a good attempt. You know, like, I would like to see what other maps they got for it. And I don't know. I'm not completely opposed to playing that mode. I would just rather do like the traditional Call of Duty for right now, I think. But I regret to inform you that I did not try Gunfight. It just escaped my mind.
I didn't play Gunfight on PC. I look forward to playing
but
more.
But you have played it.
I have, yeah, I've played it pretty extensively. I mean, every multiplayer experience I've had aside from Ground War so far has been excellent. Okay. And I'm on the opposite front. I mean, I get where you're coming from as far as the aesthetic of the maps, but as far as the way they're designed, the majority of the maps I've played, I love.
I will say I like the cave one a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if it's pronounced Azir or however you pronounce that word, but the cave map I like a lot. I love the map where you play 20-on-20 domination, not 20-on-20, 10-on-10 domination. Okay. It's like in the small abandoned town.
Yep.
I really like that map a lot. I just love how there are all these power points and choke points and ways to really maneuver around it. Versus, I mean, at the end of the day, they are three-lane maps, but they've done more to incorporate each section of these lanes.
Let me correct myself. I like the map's design, like the design of the maps. I think they're all fine. I just don't like them aesthetically. That's what I was saying.
I feel you. Did you play the realistic mode?
No. I did not.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's the mode where it's basically hardcore, but more than hardcore. I can't remember how they describe it, but there's friendly fire. There's no mini map, no crosshairs, no health.
Yeah, I have no interest in that. Nothing. I'd rather just play regular COD.
Yeah, I would too, but I like that it's included. I really am intrigued to try the night vision mode, which I've yet to have a chance to play. I never got into a cyber attack match, and I hear cyber attack's awesome.
I did. I don't know why I didn't talk about this. It's actually really cool as a game mode. So it's basically search and destroy, but you have
both teams can grab the bomb, and both teams can plant. Right?
Exactly. Yes.
Cool.
So, and there's revives too. So
yeah,
you know, you can turn games around real quick. But man, yeah, it's a cool
that'll
mode.
Be here before we know it. I'm very excited to play it. And Preston made a good point. I may or may not buy his 1080 Ti from. It's kind of a spoiler. I'm sure he's going to announce this next time he's on the podcast. But he tends to buy a 2080 Ti. In the
of course
future.
He does.
But which is exciting. But I may save my money and go for a Nintendo Switch instead as soon as I can afford it, because I'm dying to play Link's Awakening and Astral Chain, especially while I'm on the go.
Yep.
Especially on these nights where, for example, if I have a load in that's just absurd at work and I just sit around for 4 hours before the show starts, I'd like to have something to play like that.
Sure.
And every Let's Play, every review I've seen from Link's Awakening, and I hear the music and the sound design in the games, I'm like, I need more of that so bad.
Yeah.
Because it, obviously it's a far cry from Breath of the Wild, but just the vibe that Zelda games, I know they're all kind of different in their own ways, but there's still that magic to them that they all have. And I can just feel that and hear it just watching it. So I'm desperate to play that.
Yeah, I was close to picking it up last Friday, but I decided to wait until I finished Borderlands.
Dude, you want to hear what's even worse about me leaving my Switch on that plane that I hadn't mentioned? I don't know why I haven't mentioned this. This is humiliating.
What?
So I rarely like strike up conversation with a girl I find attractive. mostly because I'm just not ready to date again anytime soon. But there's a girl who was a Delta flight attendant sitting next to me on that flight. Who was clearly just off, or she was must have been flying somewhere for another shift.
Yeah.
And I wound up striking up conversation with her, and we had like a really awesome conversation, talked about music and work and life and what we were doing, because we were both flying to LA. This is when I was going to the Ghost Inside show. And I had my, that's where I'd left my Switch in the seat pocket. And this is the kind of girl that I was attracted to her enough to where I wasn't intimidated or scared, but you know how that is. Like if you truly are like attracted to someone, it can be kind of off putting.
Like you don't want to screw it up. Yeah,
exactly. So me and this girl were clearly flirting, and like a complete moron, I don't know why I did this. I think I was just so caught up in the moment that I didn't even get, I think she told me her name, but I forgot her name.
You put it in your Switch.
But she's from Atlanta. So I very could have easily been like, well, let's get coffee sometime. That'd be fun. And just get her number really quick. Because we didn't strike up conversation until people were getting off the plane. Yeah. And by the time we got to the point in that conversation where I feel like it would have been appropriate for me to ask her that, it was time for me to get up and leave.
Yeah.
So I got her name, but I didn't ask for her number. And I also left my Switch in the seat. So not only will I probably never see this girl again, but I also left my Switch on the plane. I mean, I killed two birds with one stone in that situation.
You really
did. It's humiliating.
You blew it.
That really bummed me out for a while. I was like, man, what's that? It reminds me of Spy Kids 3D when Junie, they lose track of the girl he has a crush on in the movie. And they're like, it's okay, Junie. He's like, I didn't even get her email address. That's how I felt. Also, this is random, but one of the best memes I've seen in a long time are those images from Junie in his Iron Man suit from Spy Kids 3D. And it's like, yeah. Junie Cortez walked so Iron Man could run. It's the best
funny
thing. Because I always knew how bad that movie was, but I loved it so much as a kid. I still quote
movie.
That movie all the time.
I saw it on TV like a month ago, and it was...
Yeah.
Ugh.
Dude, priceless comedic moment to me is when they think Junie's the guy on the poster the whole movie. And they're like, Junie, you're the guy. You're going to get us out of here, dude. And then they meet Elijah Wood, who's in the chrome suit. They're like, who are you? And he's like, I'm the guy. And they're like, all right, let's go into the final level. So Elijah Wood blasts open the gate to the final level. He walks in and gets killed instantly. And they all walk up to his dead body. And they all just stare at it for a second. There's a moment of silence. And someone turns to Junie and they're like, all right, Junie, you're the guy again. Get us out of here. It's one of the funniest things ever. Good times, man.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, I was wondering what we were talking about. Call of Duty, yeah. I don't know how we got on that subject.
Anyway, yeah, I enjoyed the beta. You want to just jump into, like, you know, the campaign trailer that happened?
We should, yeah. Let's do that. We have half an hour to finish this podcast. Let's go in deep.
Okay.
Nice and deep, like, boy.
What do you mean, go in deep? You mean, like, quick?
Go in deep to all the deets, brah.
All right. So, hey, man, what's the news? Yada, yada, yada. So, Call of Duty campaign trailer happened during PlayStation's State of Play today, Tuesday, September 24th.
Fourth.
So, yeah, we both watched the campaign trailer. We saw Price. We saw the other guys that are escaping me at the moment. What'd you think? Any thoughts?
I think it looks beautiful, of course, graphically.
Oh, yeah. It looks very good.
It looks very dramatic. It looks very dark, as they described.
Mm-hmm.
Has to do heavily with chemical warfare, and it looks like I don't know if you would call them American soldiers or British soldiers, but the good guys seem to be teaming up with a faction in the Middle East who are rebel fighters, it looks like, against this terrorist organization. And Jacob's off and about somewhere. Oh, he's back now. But they seem to be this rebel group seems to be defying the actions of this terrorist organization that seems to be employing chemical warfare very heavily on innocent people and wherever they're located. So And I was kind of confused by the end when Price is like, you know, if you don't know who the target is, you're the target.
Yeah. So I think it was just some cheesy line.
But I think it's cool that Price is back in the game. New voice actor, but same appearance. And yeah. They've probably altered his character a bit. Probably not quite as Michael Bay-esque as it used to be. Yeah. But I'm excited for whatever the narrative and characters are like, because the character work in Infinite Warfare, as we've said time and time again, it's just so, so good. With the exception of Jon Snow as the villain, that sucked. But everything else about the characters in that game were just very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned it in my gunfight video for COG that I wrote. I said that if they can tell a story that effective in a ridiculous space setting, I'm confident they can tell an even more impactful story in a very modern, realistic, dark setting like that.
Yeah.
So... Everything I've seen, all the dialogue seems strong, all the character work, all of the performance capture, and of course the gameplay we know is excellent. So that just seems like a killer package, and it's by far, even before seeing the trailer, I knew it'd be one of my most anticipated campaigns, even multiplayer aside, of the entire year. So I am entirely stoked. How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I pretty much echo everything you said. Going into the characters, I think... Like, it's going to be very heavily focused around the characters that are going to be on your team or you're teaming up with, which is probably a good call for a Call of Duty campaign, let's be honest. You know, Price in particular looked really great. I loved his attitude. I loved his charisma. I liked how he was just displayed in the trailer. Going back into chemical warfare, have we really, like, dealt with a lot of that in Call of Duty? Has it mostly been, like, terrorist kind of stuff or... I didn't play a lot of the Modern Warfare series.
Terrorist organization, but not so much chemical warfare. And I know this is a bit of controversy. I think it was controversial for the multiplayer. Like, well, it's fine if you employ it in the campaign, but multiplayer is a step too far. That was like an argument that was going on when this game
was revealed. Then you get into white phosphorus and whatnot.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I don't know much about it aside from I know it's obviously very deadly. But...
Yes, I've done a little bit of research. It is pretty nasty. What happens from it?
Truly horrific.
But you know, I think it's okay that it's in the game. It's making people more aware of it. You know, whether that's good or bad.
I loved what Joaquin. This is kind of a tangent, but it's kind of in line with what we're talking about. I love in an interview with Joaquin Phoenix, including Todd Phillips, what the reaction was when critics were calling Joker a dangerous film. Just saying, this is going to inspire people who have an itch to go out and kill and torture people to go out and do that after they see this movie. But they made a good point. When you're making a film, you are not responsible for the actions people may take after seeing it. Because at the end of the day, you're a human being. Everyone's responsible for themselves. No one bears the responsibility of anyone else's actions.
True.
Take, for example, I've seen a million violent movies and I've never had one violent impulse in my life, at least a murderous impulse. So it just comes down to the individual, and the creators are not responsible for each individual.
It's definitely
and that's why there's a lot of parental guidance for films and video games, because when children are developing, everyone's shaped by when they grow up, they're shaped by the people and the world and the things they experience around them. And hopefully people have been raised in a way that they are not persuaded or feel compelled or even remotely attracted to the idea of murdering people dressed up as a clown.
Sure.
And the same goes for telling a story that involves chemical warfare. I think artistically speaking, no creator should feel responsible for what an individual may feel compelled to do upon either playing or seeing it. So I love that response, and I totally agree with it. And that's why I'm not remotely fazed by the inclusion of that type of storytelling. So I'm very, very excited for it. I don't think I'll get to review it. Frankly, I don't think I'd have time to review it if I had the opportunity, which is unfortunate. But I just really, really look forward to playing it. I have no doubt it's going to be one of my favorite games of the year.
Yeah. Are you going to like play the whole campaign first, then jump into the multiplayer, or are you going to be like dabbling?
I like
both?
To mix and match. I've been a mix That's and matcher for a long time with campaigns and multiplayer and games like that. So
I think like
play,
if I get
joke
it
at the campaign.
If I get it like Friday night, I might jump into the multiplayer first thing just to check it out, because the hype will be there around like Twitch and whatnot.
Then again, it may be so engaging, I'll want to play it from start to finish.
Yeah. It'll probably come out on a Friday, right? Like, I don't know the date, but it's when they usually do now.
I think it's the 26th. Let's find out. That may, in fact, be a Friday because I know Halloween's on a Thursday this year. 26th is a Thursday. Maybe it doesn't come out on the 26th.
No.
Maybe it's the 27th.
Actually, I might have it in my phone. 27th. You got me wanting to know now. October. It's the 25th. The 26th is a Saturday.
Is that a Tuesday?
25th is a Friday.
Oh. Is it? Am I looking the wrong date? Probably. I was looking at the wrong date. No wonder.
Were you looking at this month?
Yeah, I was looking at September.
You fool.
Cool. Yeah, that's roughly. That's basically exactly a month away.
Yeah, I'm excited for the campaign after watching the trailer, and definitely has me hyped even more to play this game.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
But let's jump into the biggest story. I think I feel like that would be the most sensible thing to do right now.
I'm talking about the untitled Goose Game reviews.
Yes, Garrett, how'd you know?
Whatever that VR game was at State of Play. Actually, I haven't seen the announcement video. I've only seen the trailers for Modern Warfare and Last of Us.
Yeah, I tried to watch it, but as I told you earlier, I was working. So I kind of caught the end of the Call of Duty trailer. So I had to come and watch it. And then I watched half of the Last of Us trailer.
Cool. But you have seen both entirely now.
I have, yeah.
Cool. Let's hear from you first, Jacob. Last of Us Part 2, we finally get a full glimpse at what we can expect from the story. And I, of course, have thoughts of my own, but I'd love to hear from you first.
So, first of all, got a release date. February, oh God. 21st. I thought I wrote it down. What was it?
21st.
Okay, February 21st, which totally surprised me. I didn't think it would come out in February. I was like one of those people that kind of thought it was going to come out around the same time as the last one did.
April, summer. May.
Yeah. So, this kind of took me by surprise, but I think it's a good spot for it. There's not a whole lot coming out in February that I can remember. Most of it's in March and April, so that'll be good. Be able to knock that game out early, and plus we got Death Stranding later this year. So I think they did a good job spreading those two titles out with enough breathing room for each one.
Definitely.
In terms of the actual what we saw from the trailer, thought it looked great. Obviously, the team at Naughty Dog is really great at, you know, they know what The Last of Us is, they know what the story they want to tell is, and you can see that in the footage that we got. It seems like this is going to be a lot more about Ellie, I think we already knew that. We knew that Ellie was probably going to be the main, you know, character that we're going to be controlling or experiencing the story through in this this sequel to the game. I think it kind of seems like she's out to get revenge for someone's death. I didn't really entirely pick up on who that was. But seems like she's pissed. She looks really pissed.
She seems pissed.
She gets shot and then she pulls the arrow out. You know, she's not fooling around. I liked a lot of the different environments that we were seeing. There's a lot of different variety there. And I'm not sure if that city that she was walking back into was the same one that they were in the first Last of Us. I'm not sure, but it kind of looked familiar to me. It might have just been the lighting, but the environments look cool. The gunplay looks a lot more the same to me. They kind of shot it as more of a horror game, which it kind of is, you know, but there were a lot of little creepy or scary moments in the trailer, or going down tight corridors or being face to face with the clickers or whatever you want to call them. Overall the trailer really intrigued me. Before I saw this, I was kind of Last of Us, I liked the first one, but I'm not losing my mind to play the next one. But after seeing this, I'm I'm all on board, dude. I want to play it right now. I forgot how much that I actually liked that game. And, dude, there's so many good games coming out. And I'm having a hard time just sitting here and waiting for them, Garrett. What about you, dude? I assume you have some more thoughts.
So I'll talk about graphically how I feel about it so far. Granted, this is merely a trailer in 1080p on YouTube. Highly compressed, but even through that, you can see just the pristine craftsmanship in Naughty Dog's animation and presentation. They are totally unparalleled, and it shines through the trailer. I mean, it looks absolutely breathtaking, borderline photorealistic, and I think that's especially why going into the sequel, it's going to be gruesome and brutal, and not only just in terms of the violence, but emotionally. And I like the focus on Ellie. I think it's cool. And I'm hoping that the death of the character in the trailer that we don't actually see is a misdirect, because they make it seem like it's her girlfriend at the beginning of the trailer.
They do.
Which, if that's the case, fine. But now we kind of have an idea of where the plot's headed. Her main external goal seems to be kill all the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Now, internally, I'm sure there's a lot more going on there. And knowing Naughty Dog, knowing Sony, they're not going to be idiotic and just spoil the story for anyone. So I have a strong feeling that's a misdirect.
Okay.
And I think there will be much, much more to it than just
kind of like what Star Wars does.
Right. And hopefully, and I'm confident in this, they will deliver a story that is very satisfying and enjoyable and impactful and leaves you pondering on it like the first one does.
Sure.
Versus Star Wars leading in misdirects that just don't pay off in any way whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I trust Neil Druckmann. I know his writing partner bailed on this one. That's probably not a respectful term to use. He stepped away from Naughty Dog. He needed to just get away from that life. Yeah. But this is basically, I think someone else worked on it with him. I can't remember his name, but I know this is basically the Neil Druckmann show in terms of where the story's headed. It's directed by him. And of course, what they did with the first one, how they've improved through Uncharted. I have faith this will be their best work yet. And I know we got to remember they said, you know, the first one's about love and the second one's about hate. So clearly Ellie hates whoever has wronged her in this situation. And she seems to be out for blood. Joel's going to help her. But then again, I think these are merely the tip of these story points presented in the trailer, are merely the tip of the iceberg. I wish I had a better analogy, more of a pun on Last of Us and the world we're in. But I think there's going to be much more to this than what the trailer presents. But that being said, what we have seen looks gorgeous in every way. And I am also very excited to play it. And we have plenty to play between now and then. So that's going to be here before we know it.
True. Yeah. How do you feel? Do you think they're going to do anything in terms of like gameplay changes? Like, do you think it's going to be relatively the same kind of gameplay where you're, you know, you're peeking around corners, crouching around, being quiet? Do you think it's going to be that sort of thing, or like cover based shooting sort of thing? Or do you think they're going to
make it look that way?
Different?
It's tricky because even in,
this is just completely speculation, by the way.
You got to think about most games, especially games that are, say, like, this isn't an action game per se, but third-person action games, first-person shooters, it's hard to think of things that haven't truly been done yet, mechanically at least. And aside from sneaking around killing guys, I don't know what would be more innovative. I know, of course, animation and presentation will be incredibly impressive, but in terms of gameplay, I'm not a game designer. I have no clue how you would build upon what they did with the first one, aside from just making what they did even more immersive.
Yeah, or more
in-depth. Which we know from the first demo we saw, it was really intense. But that demo has not necessarily stuck with me. I know it was a while ago.
I don't even remember it, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember some key points from it. I just remember it looking very pretty, and that was about it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to, because the thing about Last of Us is, and Preston and I have talked about this, it is not one of the most fun games I've ever played, but it is one of the very best games I've ever played.
Yeah.
And I think what I look for in, say, a sequel to The Last of Us is very impactful narrative, one that makes me think more than just receive all the information. I like to really ponder. Like, that ending, like, really stuck with me, still sticks with me to this day. I like to think about that, and I would hope that the narrative does it in the sequel. And I hope just the characters, they've developed them even further in ways we may not expect them to go. So
agreed.
I think that's what I'm looking for. And again, like we said, presentation, animation, it's going to be unbelievable. So I think we have just a ton to look forward to overall.
100%.
And I'm hoping again that what we've seen is just barely anything in comparison to the full game.
And also, I think it's next month, they're offering Last of Us Remastered for free that month. So PS Plus.
Thrilling.
If you guys need to play it, for whatever reason you haven't played it.
Got to.
Yeah.
Definitely got to.
Got to play it now. what's next?
And what was I going to say? I know this is so random, but if you've played the Modern Warfare beta, it's probably hard to go back to what Call of Duty felt like even a year ago. But if you have the willpower, I strongly encourage you to play Infinite Warfare if you haven't already, because it is, or Infinite Warfare's campaign, because it's killer. So if you just want a really good story, it's good. Well, story's good, but just great characters. It's a really good
indeed,
time.
Indeed, indeed.
So we've talked about Last of Us. One thing I wanted to mention that they have not revealed yet, as far as I know, is WB Montreal's Batman game that is clearly centered around the Quarter Bowels.
Oh, yes.
And Preston and I talked on the phone briefly last night about it, I believe. I have the utmost faith in WB Montreal because I still stand by the fact I think Origins is highly underrated. Gameplay struggled, but story and character was awesome in that game. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ambition, too, with the Batcave and everything. I think it really threw off the pacing of the game going to and from the Batcave, but I'm such a Batman junkie, but just the idea to go to and from the Batcave just thrilled me.
Yeah.
So whatever they have in store for their next Batman title, I am so excited to see more of it, and I'm sure we're going to see it imminently. Probably before the weekend's over, we'll see this game.
Yeah, I hope
so. It makes you question, what is Rocksteady working on? Because they can't do another Batman game. That's what I said to Preston. I'm like, maybe it is Harry Potter. But he asked me, he's like, "What isn't it like when we did that video where you and I discussed it, I could have sworn we talked about Avalanche or some sort of Avalanche studio working on it, one of the two.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the case. I don't know. But that would be insane if Rocksteady was indeed working on Harry Potter.
Yeah, I
probably
agree.
Not, but that'd be cool. And the only other thing they could really be working on that would excite me would be something original. I know people have been clamoring for a Superman game for a long time. I don't really care whether we get one or not. But
yeah,
that's the thing about Rocksteady. If they do something original, I don't know what I would want to see from them.
Yeah. How do you feel about like Court of Owls? Like, I don't know much about that storyline or anything about it. Do you think like that's a good thing to put a game around?
I have the bare minimum in them. I don't know if they were introduced in the New 52 run or before that, but I have the first and second issue, I believe, of New 52's Batman run where the Court of Owls are introduced in that line. And I completely forgot about them. I just know that they're an organization. And their agents are called Talons, and they wear these spooky owl masks. And I think they're basically assassins. They're sort of like the League of Assassins, but different. I think they're like high society people that kind of blend into high society, but they're a bunch of killers or something.
Someone you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, I can't remember their backstory. All that info's out there. I'm sure it's a Wikipedia article away. But I'm excited, man. I trust that WB Montreal is going to deliver something awesome.
Yeah. So I have
hopefully
this,
they
like,
learned off of Rocksteady's mistakes, even with Arkham Knight, because Rocksteady made a lot of mistakes with that game. Yeah. Overall, incredible, but there was a lot of dumb stuff in Arkham Knight.
True. I have this tweet pulled up in front of me where it's the longtime Batman comics writer Scott Snyder, his tweet from Sunday afternoon, which said, "Wait for it, ... hashtag beware the Court of Owls." It's got two little owl emojis, then he deletes it.
Yeah, that's the thing. People kind of had a feeling this was coming. They didn't know which studio it was coming from, I don't think. But one of their developers had a Court of Owls logo T-shirt that they had clearly made for whatever they were working on.
Yeah,
which is a really cool shirt, I might add. It looked awesome. But yeah, this has kind of been a rumor for a while, and it's seemingly confirmed even before it's officially revealed. But I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm ready for a new Batman game. It's been a little while. If say this gets announced, like Saturday or something, just some any day, does that become your most anticipated game? Like, I know you're a big Batman junkie.
It depends on how it looks. Imminently, no. I think my most anticipated game imminently is Call of Duty, followed very closely by Doom Eternal, Star Wars, and then that would probably be next on the list. I'd probably be more excited about Batman than Last of Us. I don't say that to undermine Last of Us by any means, but I am just a diehard Batman fan, and the Arkham universe is by far my favorite iteration of the character.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
That's assuming this isn't a reboot of Batman entirely in video games and it does not take place in the Arkham universe. I would assume it does, just for the name alone. Like, Batman Arkham Owls.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very excited to see more.
I got a couple other articles here if you want to do them. Do we have time?
If they're quick.
Okay. We should at the very least do this one. So this is a Borderlands 3 article. It says Borderlands 3 is the fastest selling game ever for 2K. And this is by Elias Judge over at IGN. Borderlands 3 publisher 2K says the looter shooter sold over 5 million copies during its first 5 days on the market, making it the fastest selling game in the company's history. That works out at 50% more sales than Borderlands 2 during the same launch window in a game which... Wait. A game which went on to sell over 22 million units. The high figures were achieved despite backlash from fans when it was announced the PC version of Borderlands 3 would be on the Epic Games Store. A press release from 2K announcing the sales record draws attention to the store's figures in particular, saying Borderlands 3 delivered the highest pre-order sales figures to date for a 2K title. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Over 70% of Borderlands 3 sales were digital, which is kind of crazy. So that's on PlayStation, Xbox, their marketplaces, or on Epic Games Store. And the game has consistently pulled views over on Twitch. 2K says it's generated more than 14 million hours of content on the streaming platform, which is more than half the viewership that Borderlands 2 generated over 7 years. That's insane. So, yeah, congrats to, you know, 2K, Gearbox, the Borderlands team. Really cool to see Borderlands 3 is doing well. I did forget to mention this earlier, but I do have, like, a lot of problems with the UI in Borderlands 3. I think it's a little clunky, and especially the map, Garrett. Map is terrible, especially with, like, a mouse and keyboard. You have to, like, swipe your whole mouse mat to move the map as you're holding down a, like, left mouse or right mouse button. Like, it's the worst map ever. I hate it. And, like, you have, in the GPS, like, just trying to get anywhere on the map because there's so many, like, different places you can go and whatnot, it's hard to like track down where exactly you need to go. But that's like mainly my only complaint for Borderlands. But yeah, congratulations to Gearbox and 2K. Those are great numbers. But yeah, I have one more Game of Thrones article about them winning the Emmy.
I didn't watch the Emmys. I just saw the headline, but I could not believe that they won.
I can. I mean...
I mean, I think the it's more so just people overall. I get it, but this eighth season is just atrocious compared to other dramas. And what cat was it? The best drama?
Yeah, it was best drama.
Yeah. I mean, there's what were the other nominees? Does it say?
Let me see here. It might not have it. I'm not seeing it here. I could look up while you talk more.
I mean, I'm not like offended by it or anything. I was just shocked to see that. Now, I get it. When shows typically end their run, like the series finale, typically if it's a popular show, it will win that award. And again, I couldn't care less about awards regardless. I mean, I kind of care about the Oscars. I like seeing particular films get recognized in that way. But everything else, I don't care much for. So it doesn't really make a difference to me. I was just shocked as just having seen season 8 that it would beat out other dramas that I know are really, really strong.
Yeah, okay, here's the list of drama series. We got Better Call Saul, which probably, that's a great show. Bodyguard, Game of Thrones, Killing Eve, Ozark, Pose, Succession, and This Is Us. I don't know most of those.
I can attest to Ozark and Bodyguard being objectively better than season 8 of Game of Thrones.
What's Bodyguard?
Objectively better. What's that?
What's Bodyguard?
Bodyguard's that show. It's a Netflix original with the guy. It actually has a Game of Thrones actor in it. Original King of the not is it Robb Stark? Original King of the North.
Yeah,
yeah. He's the lead, and that is really strong. Love it. You should check it out. It's really good.
That was my saddest death in Game of Thrones. Was that?
Oh,
guy.
Me too, man.
I love
that. I mean, that's probably one of the top moments of the series for me.
Mm-hmm. Dude, the Red Still Wedding was so devastating.
Yeah, but also just so good. It was.
Oh yeah,
it was golden television.
That was probably my favorite
we watched
moment
it on TV
whole...
at the time. I think too. It's just mind blowing.
Yeah, either that moment there or the battle between Jon Snow and. What was his name? The guy everyone hated. It was in the north. It was the battle.
Ramsay Bolton.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that battle.
That's one reason. This is random, so we're running out of time. We'll be quick. But I love that. At first I was kind of bothered by it, but I love that Disney Plus is focusing on one episode a week for their TV shows because I sort of miss the effect of watching a Game of Thrones episode and then talking about it and discussing it. Mm-hmm. All week long and leading up to the next episode. Okay, imagine how less impactful the Red Wedding would have been had we just jumped right into the next episode. Now people that binge through Game of Thrones now, like it still works, but I think having to wait and think about that for a week just makes the next episode even more exciting. So that makes me hope that the shows that are working on, especially ones I'm looking forward to like Mandalorian, have not, I'm not saying a Red Wedding scene in Star Wars, but just moments that leave you just aching for the next episode.
Yeah.
I hope that's the case. And I think that's probably intentionally why they've designed their structure like that in their streaming service.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into community questions. How do you feel? We'll answer a few.
I could have sworn there was one other thing we were going to talk about. Random shout out to This Is Us. I've not seen it, but people just are in love with that show and keep telling me to watch it. But I cannot attest to whether or not they should have beat Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Community questions. Let's do it.
It's our favorite section, Garrett.
Yes, and I'll do the quick little quip. We have about 12 minutes to fit in a couple.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your continued support of writing into this podcast to fuel the latter half of our discussion. We are so excited to get into them. We apologize for the lack of time this week, but again, we cannot thank you enough for your continued support. If you'd like your questions read live on the show, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel and always include the hashtag #AskIOG so that we know you want your questions read live on the show. That being said, Jacob, what's our first one?
So I always like having this discussion multiple times throughout the year, but the Raven Gamer 1 asks, what do you guys think is the best game of 2019, if you all had to agree? So what has been your favorite game that you've played this year, Garrett? This doesn't have to be like a long thought out discussion. Just what have you had the most fun with this year?
So far, probably Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, that's one of mine. Yeah, I couldn't really decide between like RE2, Apex Legends, or Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay, that's the problem with me, man. I can't remember much of what I played this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it was early year stuff. So
I can't recall a single thing aside from Resident Evil that I've played.
Hey, that's
so
fine.
That's probably a testament to that. The one I remember most is Resident Evil.
Yeah. If I had to pick one, maybe Apex. Maybe, I guess. Only because I've played so much of it. But yeah, thank you for your question. The Raven Gamer one. Next question. I like this one. This one's from Carlos. Would you rather watch one of Bongalis's questions or suggestions of anime for 1 week or catch up on your backlog?
wait, say that one more time.
Would you rather take one of Kyle's suggestions for anime for 1 week, like watch it, or catch up on backlog?
It depends on my mood, because sometimes I'm in a mood to play video games and other times I'm in the mood to just lay back and watch a show.
Yeah.
I know that's a cop-out answer, but in this moment, I'd rather catch up on my backlog because I rarely have time for games anymore.
Yeah,
I can always watch anime as I fall asleep every night.
Yeah.
So right now, backlog, but Kyle, keep those anime suggestions coming because I'm building a glorious backlog that in time, perhaps by my midlife crisis, I'll have watched all of them.
It's never going to happen. Don't fool yourself.
I hope so. I'm never going to finish my Hero Shield Academy.
All right, I'm not even going to correct you. So I would probably pick anime because when I look at my backlog, I just get super intimidated now, and I don't even want to think about it. So if you could just sit me down in front of a good anime, I'd rather just experience
Jacob,
that.
Let me give you an inspirational quote from a man that said this to Preston and I once, and okay. It's cliche, it's on the nose, but it is very true.
Does ready it have to do it? With gamer backlogs?
Ready for it? Yes.
Yes.
How do you eat an elephant?
Am I supposed to know?
One bite at a time.
It's true.
That's what he said to us. We had an insurmountable job to complete, and it seemed impossible to do with the amount of time we had. And he looked us dead in the eyes. And it was funny. We laughed at him when he said this, but it's so true. He's like, how do you eat an elephant? We just stared at him. He's like, one bite at a time. And of course, it was funny in the moment. When you really reflect on that, it's like, you know, that's a silly way to put it, but it's totally true.
Yeah.
What's amazing about that guy is that I remember that. And that man sadly passed away not even a month after we met him.
Really?
And he had a family and everything. It was actually, I didn't even know him, and it broke my heart to hear that. That's so random and heavy for the podcast. But that quote stuck with me, man. You can apply that to many things in your life. A task may seem impossible, but how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Very true. Thank you for that.
Yeah. It goes for anime backlogs and video games as well.
I'm looking for one more, maybe two, one more, yeah. One or two more good ones. What do I want to go with here?
Jacob, I'm looking at a gorgeous sunset right now.
Yeah? So look good?
God bless. You know what I'm excited for is I'm doing some night photography with a buddy of mine tonight. I actually took the night off because, you know, I had this opportunity and I rarely just take time to do things that I like to do.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping I get some good stuff. It's a very clear night. And we're specifically going to spots in the city that have just great views of the skyline.
Yeah.
So hopefully I come home with some decent shots.
All right, I got one. All right, speaking of Kyle, here's his question next. So he says, my boys, to help Garrett, I'm making my questions PG-13 now. So I get one. Fuck. Oh. Well, then how the freak are you crap lords? I'm doing absolutely fantastic and loving fucking life. He said it twice. Having recently finished Astral Chain, I gotta say it may be my favorite action game of the year so far. Combat has insane depth and the story ramps into a glorious climax. My question is, what games do you remember stumping you when you first started? How long did it take you to master them? Watch Demon Slayer, Poopheads.
Poopheads.
I can answer if you need to think about it.
Yeah, go for it.
So the one that immediately comes to mind when I read this question was Bloodborne. When I first played that game, Garrett, I think it took me maybe 2, 3, 4 hours to even get past the first boss. Like, I had never played a game that just kicked my ass as much as that game did. Like, it took me, like I just said, many hours just to learn the mechanics and die repeatedly over and over again just to learn how I need to play this game and not just run into everything, you know, head first, swinging my axe. And I had to actually had to think about reading in any movements and when it was a good opportunity for me to jump in and attack and when I need to run away, stuff like that. So that one really slapped me in the face. But that's the one that immediately comes into mind for me. What about you?
Anything else? Echo Bloodborne. I know that's a very boring answer, but yeah. That was indeed my first Soulsborne game that I played as well.
I feel like that's fair because I feel like we all play that game at the same time, and it was a wake-up call for all of us.
Right. And I didn't struggle nearly as much in Dark Souls 3, but I definitely – now, granted, Sekiro is entirely different than both those games. I mean, it's a very similar themes and style and sort of direction, but in terms of combat, it is entirely different. And I never got around to mastering the combat like Preston did, and Preston blows through that game like it's nothing. Yeah. I mean, he hadn't played it in months and just booted it up in my apartment recently and just killed 4 bosses in a row like it was nothing.
Oh my God.
So that's a game I'd still really, really love to go back and play because I adored what I did play of it. I just played very little of it. But even Sekiro's. Before I reviewed it, spoiler alert, I gave it like an 88 or an 8.8 out of 10 having played not even half of it.
I can't believe you did that.
I know. Yeah, that's not good. But I just had a good feeling. And that's the thing. I didn't finish it, but I played countless hours to a point where I'm like, I can tell that this is amazing.
It was
because there was no way, and I know I wasn't the only one. There were many critics that I found out were not able to complete it before the embargo was up.
Yeah.
So whatever. But I've never done that with any other game, for the record, just Sekiro. But that's one I'd love to go back and play again. But another one that stumped me recently actually was Crash Team Racing on PS4. I did not realize how mechanically demanding that game was. It's pretty in-depth. It's far more in-depth and trickier than Mario Kart. You can almost call it a simulation kart racer.
Sure.
But especially on anything beyond normal difficulty is pretty hard to get used to. And I was very bad at it for the first couple hours.
Yep. Same. It took me a little bit. Like I remember the first little mini boss in Sekiro. It was like that little samurai dude with a big sword. It took me like 2 or 3 attempts to get him on stream. Like, I just didn't know what I was doing. But then I eventually learned the parry system. And I feel like that fight right there is a good way to, like, throw you in and get you used to the mechanics of that game. Because once you beat that guy, you're kind of like, all right, I'm feeling good now. Like, I feel like I can progress and I can, you know, continue on in the game. And that's what happened, you know. But, yeah. Thank you, Kyle, for the question. I think that's a good stopping point. We got a few others, but a couple of them are a little long and I don't really want to read them, and you got to go. So we'll save them.
You don't have another one? I can squeeze one in. I actually don't have to be there till 8 now. I don't want to go till 8, but if you want to do one more, we can do
it. Let's do one more. If you see it, you got one.
Oh, did you pull these from Discord?
Yes, I can read the one I was going to read.
Okay, go for it.
All right. So this one's from Fribes. This is a long one. So it says, hey, friends. So I finally beat Borderlands 1, considering I bought it and first played back in high school. That means it took me at least 7 years to finally get around to it. I refused to play BL3 until I beat BL2. Then after that, BL, the pre-sequel. God, you're a madman. At this rate, 7 years, 3 games, my boy will be just about graduating from college if he decides to go by the time I finish Borderlands 3. Hopefully, probably not. But y'all see where I'm going with this. I'm a bit obsessive and I'm not skipping things and spoiling things. It can be annoying to friends and others, but it's never really bothered me. Just prevents me from tuning into some streams. Sorry, Jacob. Well, I'm not actually streaming, so lucky you. Backlogs are a bitch, but we make them because we love this medium, video games. Good games are worth getting around to, and after watching the credits for Borderlands 1, I felt proud for the team over at Gearbox. Except Randy Pitchford, because maybe fuck that guy allegedly. You're all over the place with this question. So, question time. What game took y'all the longest to finish? Or wait, let me start. Let me try that again. What game took y'all the longest to finally get around to playing, and why? Shit happens, but there are games out there that make us think. I'm gonna play you. Just you wait. What game on your backlog do you most want to get back into? So,
I got one.
Okay, go.
It's not my backlog, but it took me well over a decade to complete Ocarina of Time, and I played it on three different platforms. Played it on N64, I played it on GameCube, and I finally finished it on 2DS.
There you go.
Took me over 10 years, and I loved it to death upon finally finishing it.
If they ever put it on the Switch, dude, remaster it, I'll play it day one. I guarantee
it. It belongs there. It absolutely belongs there.
Yeah. So I can answer mine. So this first question, what game took y'all the longest to finally get around to playing and why? Mine is Doom. Easily. It's Doom. It took me like, I think, 3 years to actually
play. Half the community begging you to play it.
And I'm not necessarily glad that I waited to play it for so long, but you know, I'm glad I did play it because it was a great game. I understand why everyone loves it so much. Soundtrack is hands down one of the best in games, I think. The gameplay is so satisfying. Like I didn't want to stop playing when I beat it. Like I wish there was more content, but you know, great game. Love it. And I can't wait for Doom Eternal.
I second the notion. This is hilarious. On Instagram, it says, Warner Brothers released an official statement on Joker noting Todd Phillips' film is not an endorsement of real-world violence of any kind. In fact, they have to say that is so funny how creators seem to just bend to the ferocity of the media, just annoys the crap out of me. Like, stand your ground. Be like, our film is very violent. Get over it.
Yeah.
Like, I know they're like trying to appease and like, we don't want to lose money, but like, no, everyone's going to go see Joker. Everyone's very excited in spite of how the media, some media is reacting to it. Yeah. And I was proud to see, not really proud, I have no affiliation with IGN, but I was happy to see that Jim from IGN, who reviewed Joker, completely stood by the way I feel about it. It's like, you know, they're not responsible for the violence. Yes, it's a very dark film, but it doesn't ever align with Joker, supposedly. Like, they go all in on him being a total psychopath, but they never glorify it. They just kind of put you into his perspective on everything. So just hearing people react to it that way has me even more excited. So honestly, Warner Brothers should be excited because people are going to want to see it even more because of the controversy surrounding it.
Perhaps, Garrett, perhaps. So let's answer Fribe's next question, which was, what game on your backlog or just game in general do you most want to get back to or play right now? For me, that's Link's Awakening or Astral Chain, one of the two.
I'm dying to play those, but my backlog, at the top of it resides Persona 5.
Okay. So let's just say, like, what game, if you had to pick any game right now to play, that you had time to play, it would be Persona 5. Is that what you're saying?
No. If I had time to play any game right now, it would be Link's Awakening.
Okay.
But as far as my backlog, if I had to pick one for my backlog, it'd be Persona 5. And the only reason I haven't played it yet is because with school, it is impossible for me to play really anything from start to finish, that is, especially Persona with the length of it. And it's more than just, like, for example, Call of Duty and Doom ultimately are just sit down, shoot some stuff, and you're done.
Yeah.
Whereas Persona demands a little more of your attention. And I intend to play that after I graduate from school, which will be in May. I may not immediately jump into it, but upon graduating, I will have hopefully more free time to play games for fun.
Yeah. So here's a little more fun answer for me. If I didn't pick like a game that just came out, like Astral Chain or Link's Awakening, I would pick Arkham Asylum, because I just picked that up on the Epic Game Store, and like they have like this free thing that's going on where you can pick up all three games for free and like a package deal on the Epic Game Store. So if you haven't done that, Garrett, do that, by the way. Go get those games.
Did you say Batman? What'd you say?
Yeah, Batman, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight.
I need to do that before that deal is gone.
I don't know how long it lasts, so make sure you do it soon. You don't have to download them. Before I go. Just add them to your library.
Yep. One thing that has me just absolutely green with jealous rage is that Greg Miller and I'm sure many other media personnel and influencers got to play over 2 hours of The Last of Us Part Two.
Oh, wow.
And we will hear details on Thursday, supposedly.
Sick.
At least from Greg Miller. But I didn't realize there was a media event for that, and I am jealous.
And then we can react to his reaction.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about it on the next episode.
All right, Garrett. Well, that's all I got.
And I need that's to go, all I actually, got, Jacob. So. I had a great time. I know it was brief, but I feel like it was pretty concise, and we didn't really lollygag too much. I had a great time.
Oh, yeah. We were very diligent. We had some good discussion, and it wasn't a very long cast. So yeah, a win-win.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. And as always, we cannot thank you enough for tuning in and supporting the podcast. And of course, if you're on the YouTube version, comment down below. We'd love to hear from you. Subscribe for more. And if you're listening on podcast services, all of our information as far as contacting us or getting involved with the Discord community is all found in the information tabs of every single podcast service. And as always, we highly encourage you to join the Discord and our wonderful community we've built on that service. It is just a great time, week in and week out. And we'd love to have you. So as always, again, thank you so much. And we hope you have a very blessed, productive, and fun week with your friends, family, your workplace, whatever you get up to. We hope it's just truly wonderful.
Agreed.
Jacob, I love you. And I cannot wait to see you again. Hopefully I see you on Thursday.
Yes.
That needs to happen.
I agree. I'll try my best to make it happen.
I'm going to give you another quote, Jacob. You may have heard this one. Or do not, there is no try. Master Yoda said that himself.
Wow, that's so inspirational. Thank you.
So I got the quotes all day, man.
You do. You're the quote guy.
Ponder on the elephant. Ponder on the do or do not. And also ponder on making your beard life easier.
Thank you.
I'm trying to share some wisdom with you tonight, Jake. A lot of wisdom's been poured into me recently. Now I'm trying to spill it into you as well.
Yes, yes. I much appreciate it, my friend.
Of course. Well, I appreciate you, Jacob, your fabulous physique and ultimately who you are as a human being. It inspires me daily, and I love you so much. I will talk to you again soon.
Likewise, Garrett. Love you to bits. I'll see you next time.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, talk to you later.
Bye.